glad to be with you here at New Hope Church again. I think this is the third time that I've been here with you, and I'm glad to be back with you here, and I pray, as has already been prayed, that the Lord will be with us. Horatio G. Spafford wrote that hymn after the loss of all four of his daughters. They perished in a shipwreck. All four of them fell into the ocean and died. His wife survived, and he was on his way back to London to see her. And when they neared the spot where the shipwreck happened, that's when he wrote that hymn. It is well with my soul. He had already suffered bankruptcy. He had already suffered the loss of his son. He would later go to India and suffer more hardship. But he always stood by what he said. It is well with my soul. It makes me want to stop complaining forever. When I think about that. Because if there's one thing that I do very well, and that's complain. I particularly enjoy complaining. I enjoy it. I like to gripe. It's one of the best things that I do. I like to throw pity parties. I enjoy it. People enjoy them too. They come to my pity parties. We have a good time. The purpose of it is for you to feel sorry for me. You don't think so? Get on my Facebook. It's there every day. It's a pity party for me. Everybody feels sorry for David. David's got such a bad life. It's terrible, terrible, terrible. It's all in fun. I think y'all, people who read it, know where I'm coming from. Because I know for certain, I know this and I have lived this in the past few years. There is a lot. Well, as Paul said, we are troubled on every side. Did you all know that? You live long enough, you'll find out.
That's right.
We are troubled on every side. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Now, that's pretty pessimistic, isn't it? Brother David, you're making me just glad that I'm in church tonight. My mother always made me eat vegetables first. So this is the asparagus. This is the broccoli. This is everything that your mother forced you to eat. Unless you're one of those insane children that like to eat vegetables, then bless your heart. But it is true. It is true. It is true. It is true. Horatio Spafford said, "It is well with my soul." He wasn't the first person to ever say that. That is in the Bible. It was said by a woman upon the death of her only child. First she said, "It shall be well." And then when she got to the prophet, she said, "It is well." You know why it's well? Because we're close to the Lord.
Amen.
And we're close to each other. The best place to be close to the Lord is right here.
Yes. Amen.
It's when we're close to each other in fellowship. And there are people who don't think they need it. They're wrong.
Amen.
There are people that think we're wrong. They're wrong. There are people who think they're too smart for the Lord. That's how dumb they are.
Yeah.
Okay? Brother David said dumb children. He did. He did. Mother can't get on to me. It's true. It's true. There's a lot of foolishness out in the world. And there's a lot of things that is a lie and wrong. And there's the devil seeking whom he may devour. And the older you get, the more that you go on, you just get tired of it. At least that's me. I get tired. And I need this to refresh myself. But then things actually become clearer. And you see home coming.
Yeah.
Some people have homecoming. You're not at home yet. There's no homecoming until you go and be with the Lord.
Yes.
And that's something that's thrilling. That excites me because we're that much closer to when we see Him. I had about 4.5 sermons on my mind tonight, and I've changed it back and forth, and so we're going to trust that this would be of God. I want to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. He is giving Timothy some advice, some last words of counsel. Ministers would do well to take heed what the Apostle Paul is saying to Timothy, young preachers and old preachers. They would do well to take heed. He says in verse 2, "Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and darkness in doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." That's happening right now. We're seeing it. I'm seeing it. It's there. But he tells them, "But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry." This must have gotten Timothy when Paul said this. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." That would have broke my heart. Because this was his father in the ministry. This was the man that saw him, I believe, in Ephesus. And took him and brought him into the church. And now he is a minister of the gospel. I believe he was pastor of the church of Ephesus. And now Paul is saying, "I'm leaving. I lost one of my great fathers in the ministry last year in Elder Bill Walden. It hurts to this day. It hurts so bad. I still want to call him. I still have moments when I say, I need to talk to Brother Bill about this." And he's not. You all have lost Brother Webb. That has got to hurt. It's hard to reconcile some things and get straight. Now I look, it's my time. Now I'm the old preacher. I'm not ready. But Paul was ready to be offered. That's what I want to talk to you about. See, it's not going to be all sad tonight. We have to struggle. We have to fight. Life is a fight of faith.
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
It really is. You can either fight or you can lose. Because if you don't fight, you will lose. The best way to fight is to stay with the brothers and sisters in Christ.
That's right. Amen. Amen, brother.
To pray without ceasing. in the search of Scriptures. You will get discouraged. Things will not go according to plan, to your plan, right? Okay, because I had plans too that they didn't work out. I had a script, the way my life was supposed to go. It did not go that way. You try to reconcile that. But yet, one thing guides me overall. This is not all there is to it.
Amen.
Okay.
That is right.
This is the best place to be on earth. But it's not the best place in all of creation. There is something better than this. And it's called heaven.
Amen.
This is the best place in the whole world. There's no better place than church. There's no better place than church. I'm going to say it again. There's no better place than church. There's no better place to be with your brothers and sisters in Christ. There's no better thing than to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And that's an amazing thing to be able to say. I felt the Lord here today. That sometimes I've got to stop and think about what I just said. But I am ready to be offered. And someday, my departure will be at hand. Paul said this, I have fought a good fight. I have finished. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I want to be able to say that. Not to brag, but that's what God deserves out of me. I want to keep the faith. I do not want to lose the faith. There are so many people losing the faith today. There are primitive Baptists losing the faith today.
Yes.
I'm not worried about the Methodist or the Southern Baptist or the Catholics. I'm worried about the primitive Baptists. I really am. I'm worried about the primitive Baptists. You should be worried about them too. You say, well, God's in control. Yeah, but we're the one who make mistakes. And I see, as Jesus said, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That's happening right now. Right now. It's happening right now. The love of many is waxing cold right now, and many are leaving the faith right now. That's what we're facing. That's what the Lord told us we would face. We should not be surprised about this. This is nothing new. This has been in the Scriptures for 2,000 years. We're seeing it right now. There's too much evidence. There's too much. Now, we can either get discouraged, or we can keep the faith. And for my prayer, I will finish my course. And I will fight a good fight. Because my Lord fought a good fight for me.
Amen.
And He will deliver my soul.
Right.
And it is well with my soul because of Jesus Christ. And I will not faint if God is my hope. I will not faint. I will not quit. If I'm the last one, I will stand. I pray we all stand together. Because, friends, you're not doing it to get to heaven. You're already going there.
Yeah, that's right.
Heaven's already your home. Paul said, after he had said that scripture, I have kept the faith. He used the word henceforth. And that word in the scripture is henceforth. I'm glad he said henceforth.
Right.
I'm very glad he didn't say therefore.
Right.
Paul liked to say therefore. There's a lot of therefores in the Apostle Paul's writing, but he rarely said henceforth, but he said it here, henceforth. Now, if he had said therefore,
right,
then heaven's our home because we kept the faith.
Right.
Okay. But heaven's our home in spite,
yeah,
in spite of keeping the faith or not. But you reach a point where you say, henceforth, I'm done with this world. And I've got something better. My beloved brother Bill is in a better place. And Paul would say so. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall, as he said, shall give me. And not to me only, but all them also that love his appearing. Does Paul mean that when he gets to heaven, he's going to wear a literal crown? That doesn't sound too awfully good to me. Paul is using the word crown as a metaphor. He is using a word to describe the undescribable. Because as good as you think heaven is, it's better than that. Okay? As I like to tell people, the best day of your life hasn't happened yet.
That's right.
The best meeting you've ever been to, you haven't gone to it yet. He saves the best for last.
Amen.
Thou hast kept the good wine until now.
Amen.
Why, you're supposed to do it at the beginning, but you waited till the end. That's how the Lord works.
Right.
We had the Old Testament, then we got the New Testament. Paul said the New Testament is better. He saves the best for last. But the best of the best is yet to come.
Amen.
So when Paul uses that word crown, the word crown, it means this is as good as it gets. This is the chief. This is the apex. There's nothing higher than this.
Right.
All right, I watched a documentary recently about President Jimmy Carter. You must have been bored that night, Brother David. It was a very good documentary. I'm very interested in history. And I remember, he was the first man I ever voted for. So I was interested in this. And it got to a point that I was interested in the Camp David Accords in 1979. Now, I say all this not to bore you, but to say something that the narrator said. And they said this. This was the crowning moment of his presidency. He would never get this high ever again. Our crowning moment is coming.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And it will never stop.
Amen.
It will never end. It can't get any better. And it's not going to ever end. And it is going to be forever and ever and ever. That's wonderful. That's good news. I don't want to live in this world forever. Do you? Do you? I don't. If they found the fountain of youth, they can keep it. You can keep it. Even Job said, I would not live always. Not here. Not like this. Surrounded by trouble. This world, this life, my friends, it's not even a preparation. It's just, I think it's just detention. You just got to get through. You've got to endure. You know, Adam sinned, and we've been in detention hall ever since.
Right.
You know, Paul, God's always, His mindset, His will His desire has been for His creation, humanity, that He said was very good. Very good. That's what He said when He created Adam. And it was His desire that human beings, man and women, would live in a perfect paradise.
Right.
He put them in Eden. He planted a garden. And that's where they were to be. What a life that must have been. What an existence that they had. And they not only had no sin, but they had fellowship with God. And God walked in the garden and they communed with God.
Right, that's right.
But God did something. He gave them a little thing called free will. Okay?
Right.
All right? Now, primitive Baptists don't like free will. You're not supposed to say that, Brother David. We don't believe in free will. No. Oh, no. It does exist. It does exist. That's what got us in the shape we're in right now.
Amen.
That's why we're here. That's why we're to pray. Because he did. Oh, I want God to give me free will. Well, He did. He did. What's not fair? It's not fair. I don't understand. Why did God do that? I don't even know where I'm going with this message. I'm just following the Holy Spirit. Well, why did God have to do that? Why did God put the tree of knowledge and good and evil in the garden? Why? Well, you've got stuff in your house that's very dangerous, don't you? We've got a thing called an oven. We've got a thing called a stove. My kids would play. Are they going to play with the stove? That's going to hurt. Why would I have something dangerous like that in my house? We've got a heater that's got gas and it flame. Mess around with it. The house is going to go up. We drive a car that goes sometimes, when Brother David is driving, 85 to 90 miles an hour. Yes, he does. I rented a Mercedes with it. They I was supposed to get a Chevy and they gave me a Mercedes. That really happened. And I was driving this Mercedes-Benz with Elder Philip Conley. Philip Conley said, "Let me take the wheel." Foolishly, I let him have the wheel. We were going 130 miles an hour down the back roads of Georgia. We had a blast. Children, don't do what Brother David does.
Amen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't. If you tell your mom and dad Brother David did it, that's an excuse not to do it. But we did it. We did. Why would we do that? Why? We have families that depend on us. We have wives and children, bills to pay, and we're going 135 miles an hour, and then we're going to get mad at God. The Lord gave Adam every reason to exist in that capacity, in that perfection, and he would have. I think they would have had children. I think it would have been glorious. But he also gave him free will. And he messed up.
Yeah.
All right? God is a God of justice. You're trying. When people come to me, and people do, when they come to me with these questions, with all these questions, why did this have to happen? Why does God let that happen? Why does God? First of all, who do you think I am? I'm not God, and I'm not perfect. You're trying to understand something that you will never understand, that your mind can't even wrap itself around. Because we're trying to explain the unexplainable. But I still think about it. And I want to answer these questions. Because I'm tired of my usual three-word answers. I don't know. I'm tired of saying that. All right, I'll give you an answer. May not be what you want to hear. I'll tell you. Why did that happen? Why did God let that happen? Because you're a sinner.
Right.
Well, why does good things happen Bad things happen to good people. Well, Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There is none good save the Father. There is none good, Paul said, right? Paul said that. How many good are there? None. How many is none? Zero. There is none good. How many good, according to Paul, are there? None good. There is none that doeth good. How many do good? None. How many righteous are there? None. None. Come on, there's got to be one. No, there's none. There's got to be at least one. One. How many righteous are there? Paul said, none. Well, you stop saying that. No, there's none. There's none. There's none righteous. No, not one. Not me. Not you. Not you. Not you. Not any of us. No. You're depraved. You're a bankrupt, alien, totally depraved, hell-deserving sinner. That's what you are. That's what you are. That's just, I'm doing wonders for your self-esteem. Wonders. Wonders for it. Right. Good. Mission accomplished. All right? Pride goeth before destruction. Do you want to be destroyed? Then be prideful. Pride goeth before destruction. See, we misquote that and say pride goeth before a fall. You're quoting Aesop. Stop quoting Aesop. Quote the King James Version.
That's right.
King James Version said pride goeth before destruction.
Right.
You deserve hell. But you're not going to hell. How come you're not going to hell? Because Jesus paid your sin debt.
Right.
I thought I had something to do with it. You did. You got yourself in that boat. You sinned. We were born in sin, and we prove it every day. We sin all the time. But one man died once for all, having paid and obtained eternal redemption for us. That's why Paul saying, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I'm about to set sail for glory.
Yeah.
I'm going to heaven. I'm going to leave this world behind. Vain world, adieu. I like that. They used to say adieu a lot 100 years ago. I studied it. They said that all the time. We don't say it now. We think, well, that's French. Well, that's what our people said 100 years ago. They say it at church, adieu. You've seen a lot of our hymns. It's in a lot of hymnology. Vain world. You know what vain means? Empty. Nothing. This world is nothing. Bye. I'm ready to be offered. Where are you going? There's a crown of righteousness. What do you mean? It's the best it's ever been. I'm going to glory. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to be with Jesus. I'm going to hear the voice of my beloved. I'm going to hear Him. I'm going to see Him. I'm going to experience Him. I'm going to be in a place where there's no sin. Where there's no wickedness. Where there's no wicked people. I'm going to be where I'll know as I know. I'll see as I'm seen. What a day that will be. What a place. Heaven must be a beautiful place. Because Jesus is there. Heaven, there can't be anything better than heaven. There's nothing better than it. This is not as good as heaven. Alright, this is like heaven. But heaven is not like this.
Right.
Now think about that. I think that's a pretty deep statement even though I said it. I'm going to say it again. Because I don't even think I got it. That's pretty good. See if I can remember that one. You might see that on the internet next week. Church is like heaven. This is like heaven. But heaven ain't going to be like this. What do you mean? Let's see if I can think I know what I mean. Well, right now, we're still in these depraved bodies.
That's right.
Okay. Right now, we still have an attention span. You may think, he's preaching good. Now, what am I going to make for supper tomorrow? I do that. That's what I do during preaching. I say, hey, Brother Chase is a good preacher. But, you know, next Thursday, I got that meeting, and I got to be at work early. I wish Brother Chase would hurry up and finish preaching. I got to, you know, go do something else. Brother Chase, I love you. What a nice young man he is. Love Brother Chase. Love him so much, I can pick on him. All right, you say that. I'll get the rest of you guys later. At any rate, back to the sermon. All right, this ends too. This is going to end, but we still fight the flesh, even in the kingdom of God, even in church.
Right.
And it's just no matter how good a meeting can be, and I've been in meetings where I feel like heaven is just right up there. I can reach up there and touch the hem of His garment. I've been in places where the singing was just ringing out and my soul was rejoicing. I've been in places where I actually shouted. There was a meeting one time, it was so good, I shouted. I don't want to usually put myself out there like that. But that meeting was that magnificent. Heaven's better than that.
Amen. That's right.
And that meeting was over. And I had to go back out in the world and fight the good fight of faith.
Yeah.
Try to keep the faith. Try to avoid the pitfalls. Surrounded by trouble. The few lucid moments I have, they're often surrounded by doubts and fears. But there's a crown. The best is yet to come. Paul would say this. I've got 4 minutes and 21 seconds left, and I'll close. But the Holy Ghost just told me. And if I keep talking, that time's ticking away. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Right now, it's just like we're living in a tent. These bodies is just a tent. That's what a tabernacle is.
That's right.
Ah, but when it's clothed with immortality, when it's fashioned as an incorruptible body, when it's made like unto His glorious body, ah, it's a house. A house endures.
Yes.
A house lasts. Some people like to camp. Some people enjoy camping. I do not. Your poor kids. Take my kids camping if you feel that sorry for them. I'm not. No. You're not going to take them? No, I'm not. I'm not going to take them camping. I'm really not. I'm really not going to. You should. No, I don't care. I don't care. I'm not going to. That's why the Lord made a Holiday Inn. The Lord made that. And I take advantage of the Lord's gifts that He gives it. A tent? No, it's not going to happen. Never. Not in a million years. Never say never. Don't want that one? I will. I will say that. What about a sleeping bag? Forget it. No way. Never. Never. Well, we're never going to take you out roughing it. No, you're not. Smartest thing you said today. Well, right now it's like, why? Why would you want to leave your beautiful bed to sleep on rocks? Why would you want to leave your central heat and air conditioning for cold or hot? Why would you want to leave your window screens for mosquitoes? Why? But this life, present life, this tent will be taken down. And it will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And it will be like a house that's eternal.
Amen.
I like that scripture about Abraham. Abraham sought a city.
Yes, yeah.
That had foundations. Mm-hmm. Whose builder and maker was God. We have no abiding city here.
Right.
But we seek one to come.
Amen.
Our house. There's some songs we sing, we have a mansion. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." The thing is, I don't know if we're going to have a four-column mansion that we live in heaven. I don't know if there's streets of gold or if the gates are of pearl. I don't know. But I know what these words mean. It's the best and it will never end.
Amen.
And together we will be with the Lord. Now that's pleasing news to me.
Yeah.
And I'm ready for Him to come back. be all right if he came back right now.
Right.
Don't want to have to drive all the way to Texas. Don't you want to see your kids again? No, I'll see them up there. I'll see them in glory.
That's right.
It's the best place. That day's coming. All we can say is, come quickly.
That's right.
Occupy till he comes.
Yes.
Pray the Lord always. Fight the good fight. Keep the faith. Endure to the end. Don't quit. Don't give up. Other people will. Don't give up because they are. Don't be discouraged. Don't let the devil get the better of you. You resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Keep your eyes focused upon the author and finisher of your faith. Keep going forward and you'll be blessed in that whole thing. And then, what a day that will be. May God richly bless you.
Across town ought to be able to hear us sing this.
Amen. Amen.